You're listening to classical music here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm your host for this afternoon, Matt Jackford. And we have some special guests this afternoon, including the artist of the Montclair String Quartet. We have Anton Chelopov on Violin 1, Christian Fatou, Violin 2, Bernard DiGregorio on Viola, and Andrea DiGregorio on Cello. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hello, Matt. Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
Hey.
Hello.
And they've got a series of recitals coming up this week, including, I think it's called Caviar and
Vodka.
Caviar and Vodka.
Those won't be provided, unfortunately.
Okay, that is unfortunate, but we still get to hear some great music of, I think there's some Russian composers and there's some Mozart.
Well, yes, there's a Mozart quartet we're doing. There's the Caviar, perhaps, and Tchaikovsky's String Quartet Number 1. There's the Vodka, perhaps. And perhaps the jewel of the recital is a piece by some guy called Matthew Jackford. You guys know about this guy?
No.
No.
Yeah. This is a great piece. We're premiering a commissioned world premiere piece by Matthew Jackford called Polly Hollow. And we'd like to play a few excerpts for this today.
We should probably say that West Virginia State University was commissioned this piece for us particularly. So we're very grateful to Dr. Scott Wooder for this wonderful opportunity for us.
Yeah, it's been an exciting adventure. I've been, Scott approached me about doing a potential piece for you all, and we've been working together a lot, and it just seemed to all make sense. And so this started happening, I think. He approached me at the spring of this year, and then I started writing in May of this year and finished it just a couple months ago, August maybe.
Yeah, I think you started sending us some sheets of music in the summer, fall before we got here. This is not the first piece we played of yours, Matt. Of course, you've done some things for the West Virginia Symphony.
Yeah.
And you've also done a piano concerto for Victoria Fatou, again for our Charleston Chamber Orchestra. Home in West Virginia State University.
And we did the tango, too, for the NPR Morning Edition theme.
Right.
So that was a lot of fun.
To hear.
Which was really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad. Well, these concerts that are coming up, there's four of them this week. Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. at Edgewood Summit. Then Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at Davis Theater in West Virginia State University.
Great.
And then Saturday in Marietta, Ohio at 7:30 p.m., and that's at...
This is the Evergreen Series at Washington State Community College at Marietta.
Okay, and that's Saturday at 7:30 in Marietta. And then finally, Sunday at 3 p.m. at University of Charleston Irma Bird Gallery, which is a beautiful gallery, great place for a concert.
Yes.
So I'm excited to hear it. And you all have been doing some... great preparations. I've been seeing all your work being put into it, and it's been great to hear this finally come together. So do we want to play a little bit of it for our audience?
Maybe.
would you mind, Matt, sharing with us your ideas when you were writing and, like, what is this piece about? And
Sure, yeah. So this is called Polly Hollow, and it... you know, this is something I started writing music to before I actually had a name. And I wrote maybe the first 2 or 3 minutes, and I noticed that it was very dark, very folksy. In the beginning, you'll hear, like, tuning strings a lot, and you'll hear the viola solo. And I wasn't really sure what to think of it. And then I saw a picture of a trail going beneath these trees, and I thought, wow, that's the piece. That's it. You know, a trail... beneath this arch of trees. And then I started taking a lot of hikes this summer, and eventually drew a lot of inspiration from walking through the woods and several different places throughout West Virginia, Cooper's Rock and here in Kanawha State Forest. And that's one of the trails there is called Polly Hollow. And I eventually decided that's a great name for this piece because it's a trail that means a lot to me because I like to take my dog out there a lot, Baxter. Mm-hmm. And, and he hasn't been doing too well lately, so I wanted to sort of make a tribute to him as well as as well as to put in these sort of thoughts about what happens when you take a hike, what happens, what you see, different views, different things. So that's most of the inspiration behind the piece. But let's hear the beginning to up to measure 35. And you will hear, starting out, this motive, this rising motive that reoccurs all the time. And then you'll also hear tuning strings like you would hear in a folk band. And then you hear a very folksy melody in the viola. So take it away, guys. You can hear the folk elements there, the open fifths and the strings, both lower strings and upper strings, that create this hollow sound, which very well goes with the name Poly Hollow. And, you know, I'm hoping that you can imagine walking through a forest, you know, sort of somberly, pensively throughout that beginning. Eventually in the piece, in my mind, I would say we reach a creek bed, some sort of flowing body of water that happens here. And you can sort of hear the flowing creek in the gears that happen in the viola and second violin. You'll hear that. And then you'll hear a soaring melody that happens in the first violin. So let's take it from 62 and go to measure 75. You can hear the flowing bed there and the more energy that happens throughout that section. Eventually, this section leads to a sort of mini climax of the piece, a sort of secondary climax. There's a later climax that happens that's really energetic, but this one happens and it's not as big as the ending one, but it's sort of a rush of emotion that you get from the buildup that happens. So we'll share this with you from measure 88 and going to measure 106. Yeah, so you have the rush of emotion there, and then you have the aftermath, which is, you know, sort of spinning out, and you're sort of just relaxing after a little bit of emotional buildup there. And you could hear the viola taking over the melody that you heard earlier in the higher violin, in this violin one. The soaring theme now is sort of a slower, pensive theme played by the viola. And so that moves us on to rehearsal letter I. And in this part of the piece, it gets very dark as you know, the light is obscured by the trees, as in your hike, if you will. And in this, you can hear a folk song. I bought a book. My professor at West Virginia University, John Beal, recommended a book of folk songs, of West Virginia folk songs. It's I'm trying to remember the name. It's like Songs of the Hills, I think. And in it is one folk song that really stuck out to me, and it's called The Betrayed Lover. And it's a very interesting name for a folk song. And you'll hear that in the cello coming up here. One of the sort of themes of this folk song in the lyrics was that, you know, nothing lasts forever. And so you sort of have to appreciate what you have at the time. And, you know, what's beauty today may be gone tomorrow. So let's take it away. At I, we'll hear this wonderful cello solo. Unresolved there. Wow. I really want to hear that resolution there. And I'm sure a lot of our audience members do too.
If you want to hear it resolved, you need to come to our concert.
Yeah. If you're seeking resolution, be sure and come out to one of the many concerts that are coming up this week.
Live in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So that section there, you know, took a folk song, and of course I varied it up a good bit. And then it moved to the viola there and sort of built up. And as you know, if you climb any mountains or hills here in West Virginia, you're eventually going to get to the peak, and you're eventually going to see a wonderful view, hopefully through the trees or above the trees.
Andrea's shaking her head.
Andrea's shaking her head. Why?
Well, Well, I go on hikes with my friend Gina. She's taken me all over West Virginia. And a lot of time you see something fabulous at the top.
Mm-hmm.
There are times, though, that you reach the top and go, there's so many trees still, I can't see anything.
Yeah, I know. Oh, gosh. I have been there, actually. I did a hike, I think it was called, like, Buffalo Mountain or something in Tennessee. And we climbed this giant mountain, and it was completely covered, and you couldn't see a thing. So, yeah, if you want to hear the entire thing, come out and hear the string quartet play.
Yes, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday at 7:30,
mm-hmm.
and Sunday at 3 o'clock, and Matt already told you where they are. And one more event we'd like to tell you about is Charleston Chamber Orchestra concert tonight,
mm-hmm.
Tuesday at 7:30 at West Virginia State University Davis Fine Arts Building and mm-hmm. their auditorium. And Dr. Scott Woodard will be conducting wonderful pieces by Vaughan Williams, Grieg, Smetana, and Verdi. Verdi. it's a wonderful young people student kind of orchestra, which
community orchestra,
which we are as a faculty members, we're also participating within that orchestra.
Yeah, if you didn't know, the Montclair String Quartet serves as the principal chairs in all the string sections, so you'll be able to get to hear them perform with a lot of community members in a great setting.
And we are, as well as many of you know, we're a quartet in residence with the West Virginia State University. This is our new home, and we look forward to many years to come.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so great to have a home for you guys, because you all are such a fantastic quartet, and we need a place to come see you. And so the Charleston Chamber Orchestra concert is tonight at 7:30, if you want to check that out, at Davis Recital Hall. And then tomorrow, Wednesday, 7:30 p.m., you can hear the string quartet, just the four members of the quartet, at Edgewood Summit. Thursday at 7:30 p.m., they'll be back at West Virginia State at the Davis Fine Arts Hall. And then Saturday in Marietta, Ohio at 7:30 p.m., and that's at Washington State Community College. Okay, got that right. And then Sunday at 3 p.m. at the UC Irma Bird Gallery. Now, I know you all had some questions for me, maybe, if you want to indulge or...
I don't really have any questions per se, but what I really like about the piece is that I feel, I see, I hear all the colors that one would just being in the hills in West Virginia. I think the very beginning, I haven't been to Pauley Hollow on the hikes that you talked about, but in the beginning, oftentimes we've taken trips up in the highway, and of course you go through the mountains, there are all these little pockets of fog,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of drive through them where you see them lifted up, and that's what the beginning kind of reminds me of. And I just feel that you can just hear that everywhere in this piece, that kind of thing. And especially the creek. You can hear the creek just kind of babbling, rolling along and everything.
Yeah.
But this last part at the end, when Andrea gets a melody that you said was a folk song, without knowing what the folk song was, what I thought I heard of this was something symbolizing maybe not the oppression, that's not quite the right word, but the hardships that the people of West Virginia, the coal fields, have gone through. I mean, this is a really dark melody. It's kind of... And when I get in these places in the middle of beautiful West Virginia, I can't help forget the past. I mean, that's just part of what we all hear and how people have overcome what they had to overcome. And you just take that, and that's part of this piece, but yet it ends in a very glorious vista of life today.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it amazing how music actually can portray so many different things to many different people? When we were working on this quartet without Matt, we had all these different images and, some distant bell ring, mm-hmm. or nature, or even, human suffering or some. And then Matt comes to us and explains what he wants. And it's significantly different, but still beautiful. And that perspective just makes music one of the ultimate arts for everybody.
Yeah, that's a good point. I appreciate those descriptions of the piece. Mm-hmm. Those are really well, well said. And it took some time to really hone down, exactly what I wanted to do. I knew it was going to be about a hike or a trail, but I wasn't sure which trail or if I wanted to make it more generic. I almost called it a sea of green. I thought of maybe a trail beneath the trees, something more generic. But then I don't know, Poly Hollow seemed to stick out because it's a good name, and it's also just, as I said before, means a lot because it's where I take my dog a lot, and, you know, since he's he has congestive heart disease, and so I wanted to make sure that he had some honor to him. So, anything else y'all want to say?
Yeah, I bet a lot of people don't know that it wasn't completely a done deal that once we got the music.
Right.
That we've had several sessions in which we exchange ideas, and your piece has actually evolved with the help of the performers.
Yeah.
Changing this or that or having suggestions, which is actually how this sort of thing, in my opinion, works the best. Know that in the Prokofiev cello sonata, Rostropovich basically wrote the last page.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And Prokofiev just handed Rostropovich and said, "What am I going to do with this?" So I was like, "Okay, of course it's really hard."
Of course.
But this is how it works best, where it's an exchange of ideas, and then you come up with, you know, there's five minds on it instead of.
Exactly.
Of course, you're the one that makes the final decision because this is your art, but it's always nice to have the composer ask, "Well, what do you think here?"
Yeah, no, that's I stole this line from my friend who I went to school with, but I always say that all notes are negotiable. Mm-hmm. So if anybody has suggestions or thoughts on a passage or things that they want to make more idiomatic, easier on their instrument, then they can always approach me and ask about it. And it was great to be able to sit down with all five of us and, you know, come up with some solutions to some of these issues. Anything else, guys? Anything else you all want to mention? So thanks, guys, for coming on. It's much appreciated.
Our pleasure, as usual.
Thank you, and we hope to get the chance to play your music again in the future. Maybe some other piece for quartet.
Yeah, I would hope so. Yeah, it's been... I do have to say that it's been a real honor to have such an amazing quartet, such great musicians play my music. It's very rare.
And did you like my idea to make a whole quartet dedicated to some places in Charleston, West Virginia? And this could be one of the movements.
I like that. This could be a second or third movement, you know, one of the longer Largo movements. And then maybe some other movements could form a suite or an entire quartet.
Yeah.
Maybe Edgewood.
Airport area.
Yeah. We could do different places, the capital or something. But anyway, yeah, go check that out. This will be a premiere, a new string quartet, and they're also playing Mozart and Tchaikovsky. So check all of those out. Those are some good composers.